Hello and welcome to Nightcap with Jim. I'm the titular Jim, and tonight we'll be discussing the most recent adaptations of Sherlock Holmes on the big and small screens. For more content made, Joy, please check out our Morning Mangami podcast and our other social media content at Mangami Players on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. Alright, so I decided I wanted to talk about Sherlock Holmes, because I've been catching up, watching Elementary again. And so I just kind of sparked my interest, re-sparked my interest in Sherlock Holmes. I figure it's going to be a little loose. I'm kind of figuring this out literally while I'm talking. we'll see where this goes. But so I think I'll start off just kind of giving a little kind of basic overview of the three modern day adaptations I'm going to be talking about specifically, and then maybe break it off and, you know, talk about them individually, give them their own individual segments, and so we'll see what happens. All right, so the three that I'm talking about here are Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows, with Robert Downey Jr. as Sherlock and Jude Law as Watson. Sherlock from the BBC, starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman as Sherlock and Holmes, Sherlock and Watson, respectively. And finally, Elementary, as I said, with Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu, respectively, as Watson and Holmes, as Holmes and Watson, excuse me. I just kept thinking about it over and over in my head, like, how do I describe these shows and or these projects? And the best I can come up with is like two musical analogies, if you will. Like, Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock is rock and roll. Benedict Cumberbatch's is, you know, kind of jazz or classical, and Johnny Lee Miller's is kind of punk rock. Kind of punk. But you know, they're all the same thing. So I also thought, well, because the other one I had is they're all jazz, but they're different types of jazz. So like, Robert Downey Jr. would be, you know, like Charlie Parker, you know, or Buddy Rich or something like that, you know, really kind of explosive. Sherlock would be, you know, kind of Kinda Blue by Miles Davis, that album. And then Elementary would be, you know, kind of like Bitches Brew. It's the best I can come up with, because, you know, it's all the same, you know, they're all the same base characters, but they're all just performed and interpreted by the actors and the writers in just completely different ways, you know. So with, and the, but the, I, the weird thing about it is that, like, all three of these projects actually are closer to the source material of Arthur Conan Doyle's original stories than you know, what we had previous, with, you know, like the more the most popular stuff that preceded these three projects. You know, like those ones always you know, made Sherlock into and Watson into something different, you know, like omitting certain things about Sherlock and adding things to Watson, that, you know, and taking stuff out, and making Watson kind of more of this, you know, bumbly, you know, kind of silly, or, you know, just, you know, you're not taking him as seriously. He's more of a sidekick than a partner. But all of these three projects do the exact opposite, and they actually go back to the source material for a lot of their inspiration in terms of, you know, when they're coming up with their ideas of where they're going to go with it. And they're just, you know, really fun projects too, you know. They're just really fun to consume. I mean, Robert Downey Jr. and Jude Law play off each other excellently, as do Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman, as do Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu. So, you know, you really have this really great start with this amazing chemistry between these, you know, all these great actors. Yeah, so I think I'm going to pause it here, cause just a basic overview, and then we're going to dive into them individually. So stay tuned. So I figured I would start with the films with RDJ and Jude Law, directed by Guy Ritchie. They're just really cool. I mean, the first movie, you know, kind of is meh to me. I mean, the first couple of times I saw it, it was really, really awesome. And then, you know, I got to, like, viewing, like, 4 or 5, and I was just kind of like, meh. It's not as good as it once was. You know, what I don't like is just, I don't like the villain. You know, I don't like the concept of him, and if you haven't seen the first movie, I mean, it's been out for a pretty long time, but spoiler alert here, so cover your ears, and then for let's say, till like minute two, so give me a minute, close your ears really quick, and jump back in about a minute and a half or so. I just don't like the villain because of this concept of him having magical powers and just being proven a fraud, which is excellent, but it just gets boring for repeat watching, I think, because I don't know, it's just there's something about this idea where he's just going through all this effort to make himself seem like a magician or whatever that can just do all this stuff. And it's just, like, I feel like it's just unnecessary, you know, for him to do that, when he could just do all the regular, just do it regular styles. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of that, but, you know, whatever. I mean, I just, you know, it's just, there's just something about it that just turns me off that I'm just not a fan of, really. And we're back into spoiler-free territory now, so you're all good. But yeah, I mean, it's a good movie. It's just the villain, you know? I just don't really... I'm just not jiving with it anymore, you know? But still, you know, it's a pretty decent movie. You know, great investigation stuff with Sherlock, and then really cool action sequences... which is great because this is the beginning of the resurgence of Sherlock Holmes, this movie. And they really transformed, you know, what we've seen previously, which is, again, you know, like, Holmes never talked, you know, like, you go back to, like, the most popular incarnations before the movie and these two TV shows that I'm talking about in this episode. And, you know, they omitted the fact that, you know, Holmes is a drug addict. And that, you know, Watson was a soldier as well as being a doctor, and they also make him, you know, really portly and kind of more of a sidekick than a partner. And, you know, it's kind of insulting to Watson because he's actually such a great character, you know. He's a badass, you know, and he needs to be to hang around with the likes of Sherlock Holmes. Which is fantastic. So, you know, I love how they reinvented the characters very much. But when you get to the second film, they really just kick it into high gear. And, you know, they just blow the door right off the hinges. They don't, you know, they don't kick the door in. They use a breaching charge and blow that shit off the fucking... just right off of the right off its hinges into the room, you know, just shkaboo, and it's fantastic. You know, I love the way that it opens with this, you know, really intense music playing over this opening sequence of, you know, hey, this is what Moriarty's been up to, and then this is what Sherlock's been up to, and it's just so exciting. It's just a really, you know, really blood pumping. Get your blood pumping way to start a film. And it doesn't really ever stop the excitement, you know. It just keeps on going through the bachelor party for Watson sequence, into the fight on the train, to the forest where they're, you know, getting shot at and blown up. I mean, it's just so, you know, it's a very much a feast for the eyes, these two movies, because they're so very exciting to look at, and also very beautiful. You know, they're just amazingly well shot, lit to perfection. I mean, the cinematography on these two films is off the charts amazing, and that definitely comes from Guy Ritchie, the director, but also that collaboration with the cinematographer, with the camera crew. I mean, these movies just look perfect. You know, the story in the first one, like I said, I feel like they could have gone a different way with it, but, you know, picture perfect to look at. And here's the thing, like, I say a lot, I prefer talking about stuff that I like, you know, but very rarely do you guys ever hear me, like, really single out the cinematography, even though, like, if you know who I am, if you know me personally, that's one of the things I do is digital cinematography. And the reason for that is just because if I'm going to point out, you know, a specific department, it's got to be good, you know, because here's the thing, you know, sound and lighting, camera, and you know, you put all of it together, you know, costumes and sets and locations, you put all of that together, and any one department can do just fine or pretty good, and the movie's not really going to suffer, you know. But when every department is just firing on all cylinders, which is what these movies kind of have going for them, then it's worth taking note of, you know. I mean, the costuming and the sets and the effects department, sound design is you know, the cinematography, you know, all these departments just really, really kicked ass making these movies, you know. I mean, like, again, story could have been better for the first one, but I mean, well, the story is good, I just didn't like the villain, you know what I'm saying? So if they just replaced that villain with a different guy that wasn't doing what that villain was doing, then you know, whatever though. But yeah, it just, I really, really, really enjoy you know, these movies, the second one especially. The first one, like I said, I'm kind of off it, but you know, maybe I'll watch it again sometime soon, or not. And maybe I'll feel different about it, but, you know, right now, it's just going to be just kind of meh. At the time of this recording, Jim thought the first Sherlock Holmes movie was meh. But anyway, I'm going to move on now to the BBC show, and then we're going to conclude with Elementary, so stay tuned for that.
The Sherlock Holmes of the motion pictures. I mean, really, who comes up with the titles of these podcasts? Who is in charge of that? If you want to listen to a more informative podcast, you should check out Morning Mungami. It's a morning show that's based in reality compared to, you know, going on a journey with Jim. And you can check that out at Mungami Players all across the different social media.
One thing, really quickly, before we move on to talk about Elementary, I wanted to say a few things about some similarities between Sherlock and Elementary, specifically the portrayal of the character by the actors. Here's what's interesting. This isn't actually the first time that Benedict Cumberbatch and Johnny Lee Miller have played the same character at the same time. Before they both got Sherlock, they starred together in a production of Frankenstein on the stage in the theater, and they would switch off every night playing Dr. Frankenstein and Frankenstein's monster.
which is really interesting. And I don't, and the reason I bring this up is because there's similarities in how they play the character of Sherlock Holmes. Most notably, the way that they both wear their scarf the same way. And very interestingly, sometimes they say the word text the same way. So sometimes they'll say text and they'll say it like this: "I sent you a text." And I don't know if, like, these similar, and also, you know, like, how they prefer using text messages over talking on the phone and stuff like that. Just all these, like, little things. And I don't know if this was, like, a conscious effort on the actor's part or even the creators of each show. But it's just a really cool little thing, you know, to go and watch, you know, all of Sherlock and watch, you know, all of Elementary and really try and pick out... try and find as many similarities as you possibly could. I would make it into a drinking game personally. If you're 21. Only if you're 21. All right. Well, anyway, we'll be back in a minute to talk about Elementary. Stay tuned.
Alrighty. Now we move to the BBC television show Sherlock, starring Benedict Cumberbatch and Martin Freeman. Now, this is probably my favorite of the three. I just love it to death so much. So much. Oh my God, it's so good. I mean, Benedict Cumberbatch was perfectly cast as Sherlock Holmes and ditto for Martin Freeman. I mean, they just are so perfect together. It's amazing. And their relationship is so interesting because they've, you know, been in the same thing multiple times. You know, they're both in Sherlock. They both did, The Hobbit, where Martin Freeman played Bilbo Baggins, and Benedict doing motion capture and vocal performance for Smaug, the dragon. And then they're both in the MCU with Martin Freeman starring briefly in Civil War and then having a bigger part in Black Panther, and obviously Benedict being Captain Strange. Doctor Strange. A little Freudian slip there. So it's just, you know, these guys have definitely cultivated something very special where it's just like, you know, you get these two guys in the same universe and something's just magical happens. I mean, the MCU obviously was already magical before they came along, but they definitely added to the magic. But they're just so damn good together, you know? They're just perfect together. And I love it, you know? I can't get enough of Sherlock, the show, and that's the one thing I have to complain about, is that there's just not enough of it. There's just not enough BBC Sherlock. You know, I hate the fact that I got into it so early, you know, I mean, since the first season, because it's just like, I want more, and, you know, I want season 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, you know, I just want, because the BBC just, like, British television just really pisses me off sometimes, you know, because they do television way differently than we do, you know, for us, you know, a TV show, you're going to get at least 13 episodes, or at least 10 episodes, right? You do that every year. Or 8, you know, or for, you know, some shows like, you know, like on HBO or Showtime or on Netflix, you get 8. But you're still doing 8 a year, you know? And we, you know, if a show does well, we tend to play it, you know, for a lot longer. And really invest a lot of time into it, you know. So you got, you know, your Hawaii Five-O's and, you know, and whatnot that, you know, go 7, 8, 9, 10 seasons. You know, your Law & Order SVUs, your CSIs, and all those are 20-plus episodes a season. So, you know, by the time you get 7, 8 seasons in, you're at 200-plus episodes. You know, And that's awesome, but it can also be a little bit tiring when you're binge watching. So there's pluses and negatives, you know. But when something's as good as Sherlock is, You just never have that, you know, like battle fatigue with binge watching them. You know what I mean? And I think that's smart on the BBC's, you know, on British television's part. But at the same time, it's just a bummer, you know, because it's like I want more of this thing. I mean, like the only show I know of that's like just consistently gone for more than two decades. There's only two of them, and that's Doctor Who and Red Dwarf. And, you know, Doctor Who obviously has been on since the 60s. They took a, you know, like a decade and a half break or something like that or more before they did the reboot, starting with Christopher Eccleston as the Doctor. You know... And then, and Red Dwarf, you know, they had a long run, and then they had a little hiatus, and then they came back, and, but they're still, you know, two of the longest running television shows, in history, and it's just, you know, kind of, it kind of sucks sometimes, because the BBC will, you know, at most do typically like four or five, maybe six, for a show, seasons, or series, as they call them. And that's just kind of a, it's kind of a bummer when, you know, you connect and latch on to a show, you know, like you can with Sherlock. And that's what I do appreciate about, like, Doctor Who is a very different way of them, of the British, television market, you know, doing stuff. You, they do, you know, 16 to 18 episodes a season, and... You know, most of the time they'll do a Christmas special, which is like a movie, basically, and that's awesome, you know. And then Red Dwarf, I don't know what their episode count is like now, but their first block up to like about season eight or so, I believe it was like 6 to 8 episodes a season. So, you know, but they still, you know, but still they've been going for so long. Like, they started in the 80s, and they're still going now to till today. So, there's a lot of episodes there. But, you know, Sherlock, I just want more of Sherlock, you know? I just love the stories so much that they tell. And even though it's jazz, you know, it's classical to, you know... Sherlock Holmes and Sherlock Holmes Game of Shadows is rock and roll and Elementary's punk, you know, it's still very exciting, and the investigatory methods are just so well thought out. I mean, the investigations are just so, so clever and smart that I mean, it's unprecedented, an unprecedented level of intelligence put into the ideas of these investigations. So, you know, I mean, it's just so good. It's like think of the most delicious food that when, you know, you smell it and you just taste it from the smell, and you're sitting there and your mouth is watering and you're just like, oh my god, this is gonna be amazing. And then you take that first bite and you're just like, oh, and you're just this explosion of flavor, and you're just like, oh my lord, what is happening? Like, that's what Sherlock is to me. It's just like, just pure, unadulterated, awesome, you know? And I love how smart it is. Like, that's something that I feel like, especially in America, you know, we're not really, but, you know, people in general, you know, like, we kind of fear intelligence. And intelligence people. Another little slip of the tongue there for you. And intelligent people, you know. And we don't really celebrate intelligence like I think that we should. And it's great when a show like Sherlock comes around and just reminds you that, you know, like, we need smart people. You know, like, we really do need these genius-level dudes and dudettes. Because they're the ones that are really leading society forward and making society better, you know? Now, having said that, Sherlock is definitely not a very nice person to a lot, you know, for a lot of the time. Which is interesting because the movie, in the two movies with RDJ, he's a little bit nicer than, you know, than in these two television shows. You know, especially this one. Well, in Elementary too, but it's interesting. You know, and I love, and one of the things I love about the show is they make this show and Elementary. They make him so flawed. They add just pile on a bunch of flaws on top of him, and you know, it doesn't reduce you know, his efforts of, you know, like just like about, you know, him just being this person, but it changes, you know, it's his motivation is different, you know, instead of, because he's not this altruistic, you know, hero guardian angel type of character anymore. You know, he's a high functioning, especially in this show, he's a high functioning sociopath with, you know, who will occasionally abuse drugs to an extreme level in order to accomplish, you know, some sort of a breakthrough in an investigation that he's, you know, performing. So, and he's just not very nice to people, you know, a lot of times. I mean, like, the only person he's, like, really, really nice to is Mrs. Hudson, and then sometimes he's kind of nice to Watson. And then every once in a while he's nice to, you know, Molly and Lestrade. But everybody else, he thinks of, like, it's just like the way he perceives people too is just like, because he is so smart, and everybody else just seems like ant level intelligence to him, which is fair enough, you know. I mean, like, if you met Sherlock Holmes, you'd look like a dumbass too. I mean, I would, you would, everybody would, because I mean, he's just a straight up genius, you know. And and it's interesting the path that he took in life, because he is so smart, he could literally do anything that he wanted to. But it's his passion is puzzle solving, and that, you know, naturally will translate and transition into, you know, from, you know, being just really good at puzzles to being a homicide investigator. Especially when, you know, it's a really weird, strange case, you know, when you're dealing with, like, a mastermind like Moriarty. So it's just such a great show, you know. If you haven't seen Sherlock on the BBC yet, check it out. It is on Netflix. I'm pretty sure it's on Hulu and Amazon and all that other stuff, too. So if you're on the streaming sites, look for it, watch it, you'll love it. I promise. Like, this is one of the few times I will give you a 100% guarantee that you will like this show. And if you don't like this show, you're probably not living life right. but it's amazing. You got to check it out if you haven't seen it. And if you have seen it, we're already best friends. So stick around, and we're going to come back and finish it up talking about Elementary with Johnny Lee Miller and Lucy Liu. Stay tuned. All right, now to the final thing I'm going to talk about, Elementary. This is pretty interesting, and one of the most unique of the three, and of any adaptation of Arthur Conan Doyle's classic characters, Sherlock Holmes and John Watson, for a couple of reasons. One, we're not in London on 221B Baker Street anymore. We're now in New York City. Whoa, exciting stuff. And Lucy Liu is not John Watson, but Joan Watson. They have taken away the aspect of her, of Watson being a soldier. She was just a surgeon. And then on top of that, she's not even a surgeon anymore. She's a sober companion, and that's how these guys meet. So it's one of the most unique origin stories of their friendship that's come out of any adaptation. You know, he's in New York City instead of London. Watson's a lady, not a soldier, not even a doctor anymore, Sherlock, at the start of season one, is just out of rehab, after, you know, going pretty hardcore on the heroin and whatnot. So hard-ass drug user. Now, in Sherlock on the BBC, we know that he uses drugs, but they never specify what specifically. You know, I mean, at the end of the Abominable Bride, Sherlock's brother asks him for a list, and he gives him a list, but we never know what's on the list of stuff that he's taken. But in Elementary, we know right off the bat this guy, you know, he's coming out of rehab for using really hard drugs. So, you know, it's definitely very different, you know, a very different Sherlock than, you know, we were used to with, you know, RDJ and Benedict. And a whole new Watson, you know. So she was a surgeon, and then, you know, for reasons that are explained in the show, decides to leave that profession and become a sober companion, and that is a person who will hook up with a recovering drug addict and just basically be there 24/7, you know, just be that angel on their shoulder, just like, you know, don't take drugs anymore, and just be there, you know, like a counselor and a psychologist and, you know, just somebody there to just be like, you know, hey, don't take drugs anymore, you know, and through this relationship of her, you know, being her, his sober companion, which means that she's got to be with him, you know, all the time, she goes to the crime scenes with him and, you know, starts becoming, you know, interested in his work and starts, you know, chiming in her two cents every here and there and, you know, starts really getting into the process and the profession of being an investigator and, you know, becomes very excellent and develops her investigatory skills and becomes a great investigator in her own right, which is super cool, you know? Like, I just love the changes that they made to, you know, to the character, because it's just so different, you know? And Johnny Lee Miller, he just gives such a... He just has a great take on the character, you know? Another perfect bit of casting, you know? All these... one of the things that all these, you know, projects have in common is the casting is perfect, you know? The chemistry is electric. It's fantastic. And, you know, and just no exceptions. And Johnny Lee Miller just does a great job. And Lucy Liu, I think, is amazing as Watson. I think she's awesome. She's just really cool. You know, I like Lucy Liu. She's dope. And Johnny Lee Miller is just so cool, you know. But like I said, he's very punk, you know. He's very grunge, you know. This really, you know, disheveled. And he's always, you know, got shadow. You know, like, not even 5 o'clock shadow, like 10 o'clock shadow, you know, just a really, you know, gruff, you know, scruffy looking guy, that just doesn't really do much for his physical appearance, you know. I mean, like, Benedict Cumberbatch's Sherlock is, you know, almost always just impeccable, you know, always clean shaven, you know, hair just in the right spot. You know, not the nicest clothes, but they're nice enough for jazz. And, oh, hey, little double entendre there, because I called him the Jazz Sherlock. But Johnny Lee Miller's is, he's, you know, he wears t-shirts, you know, under his suit vest or and jacket. You know, just not very nice blazers, you know, just really, you know, your basic, like, $5, you know, suit jacket and blazer, jeans, you know, and all that stuff, and just, you know, not giving a shit about his appearance at all, you know, not even putting any effort into it whatsoever, which is just great. But he's also, you know, he's also a bit of an adventurer, you know, as well. And that's what, again, another thing that unites all these three is them going back to the source material and making Sherlock, you know, very capable in so many different aspects, whether it, you know, through technical mastery of, you know, certain skills and up to and including fighting, you know, martial arts. And that's awesome, you know. And so, you know, you get these different, really different stories. And Elementary is one of the most, is probably the most unique out of these three, because there's very little that they've actually taken from the source material in terms of the stories. Now, with, you know, the movies, especially the second movie, A Game of Shadows, you're dealing with Moriarty, who is the quintessential villain throughout history. I mean, like, Sherlock Holmes and Moriarty's relationship is the inspiration for all of everything in pop culture, you know? I mean, we wouldn't have a Joker and we wouldn't have a Batman without Sherlock Holmes and Jim Moriarty, you know, and so on and so forth. Like, they are just the quintessential duo, the quintessential pair of hero and villain, and especially a flawed hero, you know, a hero who may not even consider themselves a hero, which is, you know, and that just blows your mind. So, you know, but Elementary is so interesting because it's modern day times, but it's also in New York City, and it's not like he's now a New Yorker. He's a transplant from England, so he's had his time in England and in London, and because of his drug abuse, he's now relegated to working in New York. So it's just, you have this very new and interesting dynamic where they're doing all these things that they have to do because they can't really use source material for some of the stuff, you know? Like for instance, in season one, there's an episode where Sherlock investigates a plane crash. And that is just, you know, you can just, don't even have to look it up. That's not from Arthur Conan Doyle's writing. So, you know, Elementary is this really interesting platform for storytellers to do their own unique Sherlock Holmes adventures, which is fantastic. I mean, Sherlock has the same, you know, thing, of course, but they tend to stick pretty close to Arthur Conan Doyle's stories. They just transplant them and adapt them to work in the modern day. But Elementary just totally goes wherever the hell they want to go, which is really cool. It's really exciting. And it makes it a very fun and fresh and exciting television series. You know, it's just really an awesome sight to behold, you know, and just really exciting as well, being a storyteller. Like, maybe I could get to work on Elementary one day. You know, I could get to work on Sherlock someday and get to tell, you know, my own unique Sherlock Holmes tale. You know, that'd be so cool. Yeah, it's just really fantastic, these three projects, you know. I love them. But yeah, that's going to be our show for tonight. Thank you so much for listening. Please tune in to our morning show with Heath. He's got a new episode coming out tomorrow. It's part two of his series on mockumentaries. He's going to be talking about Trailer Park Boys, and it's very exciting. I've heard a little bit of it already, and I know it's good. It's really cool episode. You should definitely check it out. It's going to be awesome. So please don't miss that tomorrow at 8 a.m. Check out our other social media content at MangaMePlayers on Twitter, Tumblr, Facebook, and YouTube. Thanks again so much for stopping by for a nightcap. Good night.